Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Tuesday. Big 11 o'clock hour straight ahead. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in a minute. Greg McGarrity, the athletic director at UGA, was on with John and Hugh this morning talking about their plans to, you know, try to get football going this fall, and it sounds like business as usual. They're planning on best-case scenario, and they will adjust accordingly. We'll let you hear the entire conversation coming up at 11:20, and then we'll get to the Wendy Zone, of course, at 11:40 as well. A couple things to mention here to keep an eye on. I'm sure we'll get back to them as the show goes on. We mentioned in What's Trending the conversation about Major League Baseball and the ongoing debate between the Players Association and the league or the owners about trying to come to some sort of solution, come to some sort of compromise about the finances. And Jeff Passan of ESPN reports this morning that the financial plan, the compromise proposal from the owners should be presented today, which means we'll probably see it by the end of the day today. And then the players get to look at it and decide what they think. But it sounds like that's going to happen today, which kind of speaks further to that point, Randy, that this is a really big week. Like, I know last week they talked about all the nastiness that was going to be going back and forth and all that, but they didn't get into money yet. It was safety and some of the rules if they were going to get on the field and that kind of stuff. And that's all good, and that's all important. But that's like down the road type conversations. That's like if we get there conversations. You got to get the money worked out first, and then you can figure that other stuff out. So the fact that they're going to start talking about money today is good, hopefully.
Is there a reason why you think that they picked today? You know what I'm saying? As far as because we know what the issue is, and we know that the first time they met after both teams went after each other, there was no money talked about. You know what I'm saying? And I understand you can't have it without safety, so you do have to talk about the safety precautions that you need to play your sport or whatever. But I mean, it's so confusing right now, and hopefully they get some done. I was looking at some this morning talking about confusing. We were just talking about college football and McGarrity, like you said, we'll replay him next. What about Michigan and the AD or president saying one thing and Jim Harbaugh saying another thing? I mean, that's the thing with it, Bunk, is there's different regulations for different cities. I mean, for different states. And you don't know. That's why the college football thing is confusing to me, because what if the Pac-10, Pac-12 can't go? You know what I'm saying? What if they start later? How does that affect the season? As far as you get to the college football players, I mean, I know the Pac-12 doesn't usually get in there, but at the same time, I mean, they still deserve the opportunity, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, it wasn't a shot at your conference.
I know.
Would never do that. Would never take a shot at the Pac-12.
No, you're right. You're right. What you said was factually accurate. They don't often get in there. I think it's been twice, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Also, the thing that complicates it is, what if you have an early season non-conference game that would bolster your resume that isn't played because the team that you want to play isn't playing football, whereas teams in your conference do? Like, you've got Alabama set to play USC the first weekend of the season, but if USC's not playing football, but Georgia's got, I know Georgia's playing Virginia, so that's not like the greatest non-conference game of all time, but there's some other really good non-conference games early in the season that teams in your conference are going to be playing, and their resume is better because they had an opponent who was willing to play and you didn't. Like, my school is supposed to play Michigan the second weekend or the first weekend of the season. They're supposed to play Michigan in Seattle on September 5th, I think it is. So, you know, what if Michigan doesn't want to play?
Exactly. And how does that affect, you know, who else? And I think that, you know, they get overlooked, but I know people are talking about it. What about the schools that you pay to come and you beat down?
Great point.
What I'm saying? What about those schools? And because that, how much that funding, you're paying them $750,000, that's the biggest check they'll probably get all year long. And you know what I'm saying? These are you're paying them to come in and let you beat them up. What about those schools? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that I don't think Notre Dame, Navy, they're going to play cross seas. I think they'll probably end up making a home game for one of the two teams. Mm-hmm. And this Georgia game against Virginia, it's supposed to be at Mercedes-Benz, right?
Yep.
I wonder if it's still going to be there. I mean, there's so many different logistics to it, but the one thing we do know is that if nothing else, football's going to be played in the South. We know
We
know that.
There's going to be games, and if it's just the conferences playing each other, okay. The SEC schools aren't worried about that. If you go undefeated in an SEC conference schedule, you're going to the college football playoff. That's the way that it works. I mean, it might be even, I don't know, this is probably, again, a down-the-road conversation, but it might be even beneficial to get multiple SEC teams into a college football playoff if there's only an SEC or only conference schedule. So you're only playing against the best of competition in that sense. You're not going to have those watered down, random, early season non-conference games against middle of nowhere state or that other random non-conference game that SEC schools play that first weekend of November. Like, you're not going to have those. You're not going to have those games anymore. So your strength of schedule is actually going to be better. Anyway, we'll let you hear what the athletic director from Georgia, Greg McGarrity, had to say coming up in about 20 minutes. As we always do to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, though, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle
with the midday show. No huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now. Let's go. Set.
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep warm. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision Furnace Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. Let's start with former Falcon Devontae Freeman, who I guess had an opportunity to become a Seattle Seahawk, but wasn't interested because of the money. There were other teams that have been rumored to be interested in Devontae Freeman, but no contract has been signed. And then the report came out over the weekend, Randy, that not only was Devontae willing to sit out a year if he doesn't get the contract that he wants, he might retire if he doesn't get the contract that he's looking for. Well, Devontae Freeman responded strongly to that, saying, I'll summarize, that's nonsense. And then he swore at people, kind of, which I understand. I mean, if I'm Devontae, I understand being frustrated in this situation. He still doesn't have a job. He thinks he's better than what the market says he is right now. But what actually is going on with Devontae Freeman? Like, why is he still unsigned? And I don't know, I guess, what do you predict is going to happen next?
I don't know what's going to happen next. He will be signed, I think. He will play this year. It won't be for the money that he used to make, though. That's the thing about it, is that you have to understand where the market is right now and what time of year it is right now far as it's almost training camp. You know what I'm saying? Now, if this is back when free agents first started, then you might have an opportunity. But nobody knew a lot about Devontae, you know, coming off a disappointing season, injuries and all those things. And you got to, you know your value. You got to know, not necessarily know your value, you got to know what the value is out there for you. I mean, we talk about self-evaluation all the time. Everybody thinks they should be the highest paid player at their position, no doubt about it. But when you're in a position of where he is, especially the position that he plays at running back, and you have not been signed yet, it's a possibility that you're not going to get what you're used to getting. And that's the thing about it. I mean, Devontae's worth $7, $8 million a year. You're not even going to come close to that. You're going to have to take probably half of it or less than that. And he wasn't willing to do that for Seattle. And they moved on and went and signed Carlos Hyde, who himself just had a torn labrum surgery. So there's no telling when he'll be back. So, I mean, Devontae's got to find the right fit, the right team. And, you know, and if both teams can come to an agreement on the money, then he'll be a whoever.
Yeah, and the hard part is you make a great point with Carlos Hyde. Guys that teams may have been less interested in than you are getting signed because you didn't sign. So the market that wasn't good for you last week is even less good for you now, because teams that needed that running back, whatever you want to call it, a third down back or a guy who's going to come in and compete for the starting job, whatever Carlos Hyde and Devontae Freeman are, Carlos Hyde has a team now. So that's one job that you could have gotten that's no longer there. The longer you wait, the more Frank Gore signed. The longer you wait, the more guys like that that you may not view yourself as in their category right now, but the NFL views you as in that category. Right. And the only way you can prove them wrong is to sign whatever contract you're offered and go prove them wrong. Like, you're not going to be able to prove them. You're not proving them wrong from the couch, man. Like,
yeah, but
no one's just going to pay you more money because you can't.
That's the thing about it is, I mean, maybe he looked at it as I could probably get more money. And you asked me a question in our when we have our group meeting in the morning. I mean, is it bad advice by his representation, or is it just he's getting some, you know, getting, is he asking for too much? I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, but the crazy thing about it is that your agent works for you. You know what I'm saying? So if you tell your agent, I want this money, you're going to get that money for it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it could be a little bit of both. I think that, you know, sometimes when you try to get as much money for your client as possible, because that's your job also, that sometimes you even look at it as, you know, you're not really valued like that anymore, Devontae. We can't get you $70 million a year.
Right. Well, and I also just, you know, it's not that often that when the market isn't great, like, people aren't snapping up running backs right now. People have done that already. Like, if you wanted a running back, you know, you signed Todd Gurley the first day of free agency. That's when those guys went off the board. And Todd Gurley even didn't get the money that Todd Gurley used to get. That's the when you're a running back who's available in free agency, it's because you're not what you used to be, or at least you're perceived to not be what you used to be. If you're a running back that still has that value, you either got a contract from the team that drafted you, or they put you on a franchise tag. Like, now, maybe a bigger conversation about how unfair the market is for running backs and how running backs basically get used and abused and franchise tagged and, you know, completely like drained of their talent and then cast aside. But that's a different conversation altogether. I don't think Devontae Freeman's going to change the narrative surrounding how running backs' contracts are structured or used. I just don't know that it's very often that publicly a contract is offered, because we know, or at least we have reported, what the Seahawks offer was.
Yeah.
And he turned it down. That another team's going to say, oh, we'll just give him more than that.
Well,
we're going to offer him less because now that job went away and he doesn't have a job yet. So we have the leverage and he does not. It sucks, man. It sucks. It's got to be a really difficult situation to be in where you still think of yourself as a premier player at that position. And you're probably not. I mean, history over the last couple of years tells us you're probably not. There's really nothing else that people make decisions based off of. But you think you are, and you're not old. What's Devontae Freeman, like 27? You know what I mean?
27, 28.
That's crazy. That's crazy to go from where he was to where he is. Is the weird offseason impacting him at all, or is he in a different category than that?
Because
Cam Newton doesn't have a job, in my opinion. And we'll get to that in a minute. Partially because of the fact that he can't get a physical. But other guys that haven't gotten physicals have gotten jobs. Is Devontae impacted by that? Because Devontae played 15 games last year.
I don't know why this impacts you, but there's always guys like Devontae Freeman, especially at the running back position, who are out there right now, who you're like Carlos Hyde played really well for the Texans last year. But I know a lot of it probably had to do with the surgery on his shoulder and everything, but you're like, why the hell did he just get signed? He played pretty good last year. I mean, that's just how the market goes sometimes, man, especially that running back position, because they don't use that bell cow really with single back anymore. It's a back by committee nowadays. I think Devontae would be really good in somebody's committee. But there's no reason I can give you other than the fact that, you know what, he played the 15 games, but he just does not look like the same Devontae. I kept saying it last year. He just doesn't look like Devontae as explosive as Devontae used to look. He didn't look it. And
he's
think
not.
That's what teams saw.
Yeah, he's not. All they can do is look at the tape, you know. I don't know. I still feel like he'll get a job because he's still a guy that can help a team out. But I don't know what the money's going to be. If $4 million from Seattle wasn't enough, I don't know if anybody's going to come up higher than that. Now, Cam Newton's still not signed, which you can make arguments for. I understand, you know, the starting quarterback with a lot of personality. Maybe you don't want that if you want a backup quarterback, whatever. But the injury part of it was always interesting to me. But Joe Flacco got signed over the weekend.
Right.
Joe Flacco was on the IR last year, and he hasn't got a physical either. Joe Flacco is more trustworthy than Cam Newton right now? I don't know about all that.
I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many reasons why people can say why Cam isn't signed. The physical, the personality, not willing to be a backup, all these things, man. But, we don't know why Cam hasn't been signed yet. I can only speculate. I think a lot of it has to do with – because he's the ultimate alpha dog quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And I don't subscribe to he'll mess up locker room and all that. I doubt that, you know what I'm saying? Because I've never, you know, and I know a lot of them cats that play in Carolina, never heard anybody say Cam was a bad teammate, you know what I'm saying? And the thing with Cam, especially early on in his career, Cam was a bad loser. So what? You'll be a good loser? I never heard that before. You'd be a good loser. Why did he be a good loser? Losing sucks.
Said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser?
Yeah.
Is that what that was Cam that said?
It was something like that. Yeah, because people always talking about him sulking
so
and everything. I'm
God,
like,
I
why
love
is
that quote.
I mean, he's supposed to be happy that he just threw an interception or something like that. He's upset about it. And so, I don't know why that Cam Newton is not signed. I know, of course, it's the injury history and all that, not being able to get a physical. But just like you said, Joe Flacco got a broken neck or whatever. And he just, you know, and they say he won't be. They say Joe Flacco won't be ready until mid-September.
Right.
So you're like, okay. That's the typical. It's so Jets. It's very Jets. But especially at the quarterback position, is the personalities have to match with the head coach. I look at it like that. I think him and Coach Ron had such a great relationship. And now you're trying to bring him into another locker room. I can see a couple places, Andy. Buffalo, San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, Buffalo, San Francisco.
San Francisco would be very interesting.
It'll be very interesting, Cam.
Very
Newton.
Interesting.
It'll be very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, because I, I just look at how Baltimore is built. Baltimore is built for Cam's skill set.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They want a grounded pound and all those things. And I look at, you know, Cam, you know, the head coach is the former defensive coordinator down there. So he knows you. So why not?
Interesting. All right. Kyler Murray apparently is NFL offseason 2020 hype champion. I think last year was probably Baker Mayfield. This year it seems to be Kyler Murray. He's getting a lot of MVP talk, including from Bucky Brooks, who Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network tends to be a pretty level-headed guy. Like, we're not talking about Colin Cowherd said Kyler Murray is going to win the MVP. We're talking about a guy who tends to know football. Are you buying all the Kyler Murray hype this offseason?
No. No.
Okay.
I mean, I want Kyler to do well. I want him to do well. You know, but no, I don't know. I don't believe all that hype right there. I mean, why is he so hyped up now? Why is he one of the leading
quarterbacks? Put a lot of talent around
MVP?
Him.
He's got that. Okay, but I'll go back to what I said about Cleveland. It's still Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona, which is a nice place to live.
They're better. They're better than the Browns, historically.
But the thing, okay, they went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. They got all this stuff around him. They're going to buy the block for him. I mean,
true,
the O-line is awful. The offensive line is awful. And so, I mean, Kyler can move a little bit and everything.
Tough
but,
division.
Yeah, the MVP, like, really?
Yeah. Right. Tough division. I guess maybe it's the weapons around him and the trend of second-year quarterbacks winning the MVP.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago, Lamar Jackson last year. You make that jump from year one to year two.
I hope he has the same kind of story because I like Kyler and I want to see him do well. But, I mean, I don't think.
I just hope he does too because I think Kyler Murray doing well in the NFL opens up the.
Great point.
Opens up the possibility for so many more quarterbacks to get drafted.
Well, like, I mean, you look at who won.
He's so small.
He's like, a little dude.
He's such a small guy. And he looks little.
He does.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I know there's other guys that are small. Russell Wilson's not huge, and Drew Brees. Kyler Murray looks small compared to those guys.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm saying. He looks little.
If he can succeed in the NFL, there's going to be a lot more quarterbacks that can get drafted. And I think Lamar Jackson has helped a lot more quarterbacks get drafted. I mean, I think the narrative, the thought process has shifted over the last 5 to 10 years, which is great because a lot of guys have been overlooked that should have got drafted in the NFL. But, man, if he can succeed at his size – I think there's a lot of guys that can get in there.
I would love to see that.
All right. Greg McGarrity, the athletic director at the University of Georgia, was on with the morning show earlier today talking about what it's going to take to get football back this fall. We'll let you hear a lot of what he had to say coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. 11:40 here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday, by the way. Hopefully everybody had a nice weekend. Before we get to the Wendy Zone, though, obviously one of the big things we're trying to figure out and talk through is whether or not college football will happen this fall and what exactly needs to happen in order to make sure college football does happen this fall. One of the guys who's going to be really instrumental in making sure that happens here in the state of Georgia is Greg McGarrity, the athletic director at the University of Georgia. He was on with John and Hugh this morning, and I'm just going to let Hugh Douglas ask the first question because I think it's important that everyone hear the voice of Hugh Douglas.
Has there ever been any time that you looked at it and thought that potentially there would be no fans in the stands for UGA games?
You know, we dealt with this a little bit at the SEC basketball tournament back in March. So we knew a little bit about the planning there, but not to the scale of what we're discussing now.
Yeah, you experienced that. Actually, let's start there if we can. Greg, can you take me back to the decision and what it was like for you when you're at the tournament and you had to make these kind of immediate calls? Everything was, you know, happening at such warp speed at that point. What was it like to have to, you know, sort of just take apart a whole tournament?
Well, luckily, all the athletic directors and the presidents were together, so we were able to make some decisions very quickly. And once the Gobert of the NBA came down with the virus, boy, that just brought everything to a halt. So you're going from a moment to where you had a game tipping off at 12, that at 10 o'clock that morning, the tournament was canceled. So we just went to a quick stop. And I think it shocked everyone. But the more we learn, we made the right call because you can only imagine what that would have been like. With a packed arena and Nashville, with the way the crowds were attending the tournament, it could have really been a bad scene there. But luckily, the action was stopped, and so here we are 2.5 months later, still in the same boat.
Greg McGarrity, the athletic director of the University of Georgia, joining John and Hugh. So June 8th, the date that the SEC has now, you have voted to let the fall athletes return. Walk me through a little bit about what this means from your perspective about when these athletes do return and what they're going to be able to do.
Well, the date signifies the date you can basically unlock the weight room and start your voluntary workouts. So between now and that lead-up time, there's going to be a lot of measures taken in place with our student athletes. Ron Corson, who does a tremendous job for us, is handling all of the medical operations for that. So there's a battery of things you have to check off the list in preparation for these young people to be associating with everyone when social distancing and small group workouts and things along those lines and hygiene. So it's a totally different environment. And we got to remember, these are all voluntary. So it's not like you've got any required workouts or things of that nature. So it's all totally voluntary during this time until preseason practice starts. So everybody just needs to remember these are all voluntary workouts.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to athletic director, UGA, athletic director Greg McGarrity on the WaveFor.com hotline. So with all of that being said, have you seen like any, like, I don't know if you noticed or not, but any drop off as far as like student enrollment so far with everything that's going on?
You know, it's a great freshman class enrollment here at the University of Georgia. Everybody's just anxious to get back in the new environment, but I think everybody's just tired of being at home, tired of being around the same people. So we're going to have to get back to the new normal with certainly a lot of protocols in place, and it's going to be a new way of life, especially during this bridge time to where we have to navigate from what we thought was normal to the new normal. You saw a lot of what went on during Memorial Day weekend, which wasn't really social distancing at its finest hour. But we know we only have one chance to get this right in college athletics. And football, we've got to get it right in June, because if we don't get it right in June, we have no chance of being ready in July. And July is really the most important month to where we can get back to, at some point in time, practice, not only for football, but our other sports, as fall sports, as they get ready for the season.
Greg McGarrity is the athletic director at UGA. Have you been in contact with the folks here in Atlanta about the Chick-fil-A? Because your first game is against Virginia on September the 7th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and one of the Chick-fil-A games, there are three slated for them. Is that still all systems go at the moment?
Yes. I've talked to Gary. It's been a couple weeks since I spoke to Gary and then Carla Williams at Virginia. So we stayed in contact, not over the last couple of weeks, because we know time is on our side. And the more we learn, the more we become more educated on everything. And at some point in time, there'll have to be a clear definition of what mass gatherings means. So we don't have to make that decision now, but at some point in time, we have to get the green light on what can the attendance figures be, how do you do all this. And so a lot of information that has to be gathered, but it's just May, and we don't have to make those decisions right now.
Greg McGarrity joining us. You're right, we have 3 months, which is plenty of time here to see what we're going to have going forward with college football. But what do you envision, Greg? I mean, how do you think this all plays out? Gene Smith at the University at Ohio State University is saying we're planning on 22,000 fans, doing some kind of a lottery or something based on that, and that's what we're thinking about for our opening game. Is that something you could see happening, actually having fans at the opener?
Well, we're not going to do what Ohio State did, because can you imagine the number of phone calls Gene got the next day? Am I in? Am I out? You know. So once we have clear information, we'll get that information out at one time when it's really the final decision. Because one thing we don't want to do is create angst and worry and concern about am I going to be in that group? You know, we're planning for a full house. Now, is that realistic? Time will tell. But at least we're planning that way, and we can always back off of that. But we've got several internal documents ready to activate. But certainly we don't want to go public with anything, especially in May. I mean, our first home game's in September.
Right.
So we don't want to rush through anything. At the same time, we want to be respectful to everyone. But we want to provide accurate information at one time, so there's no misinformation there.
Now, I know that the NFL has been discussing, you know, whether or not they're going to use a special kind of face mask. I don't know if you guys are in the process of looking into something like that as well. Has that been discussed?
Hugh, I can only imagine what's going through our coaches' mind and our equipment staff's mind, okay? Mm-hmm. They probably have so many ideas coming up that I'm not even aware of because I think, like, college sports follows the pro sports in so many things. And I think anytime you see technology that emerges, you know, it won't be too far behind colleges adopting whatever they do. So we're keeping a close eye on the NFL in all areas as far as stadium management, how they conduct preseason practice, how they conduct their games. So we are definitely paying close attention to the NFL.
Greg McGarity, athletic director at University of Georgia with John and you. Well, Greg, tell me about – let's talk a little football. We got another minute or two. Tell me about what your expectations are for this team this year. Jamie Newman at quarterback. You got Zeus back there at running back. You've got a team that certainly knows how to win in a what's going to be an extremely competitive SEC again. So what are your expectations?
Well, you don't know. You had no evaluation period in the spring. So, you know, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, virtually a whole new offensive line. So many unknowns defensively. I think there's more stability there, but a lot of unknown. Rodrigo's gone. You know, Rod seemed like he was here for 10 years and did a great job for us. And so there's just so many unknowns that I think is going to probably be the most intriguing preseason practice we've ever had, because there's just so many unknowns, and very rarely have we entered a season not knowing who our starting quarterback is or a quarterback that hadn't taken a snap yet for Georgia.
Yeah, especially when your third game is on the road at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's we jump in the fire quickly, and we know how Virginia ended their season. And so, you know, there's one game at a time, and we just want to get to that first game. I think if everybody knew the first game is going to kick off as scheduled and, you know, with a great crowd, I think everybody can breathe a little bit better.
So how do you feel about Georgia chances this year? Looking good?
I think we're going undefeated every year in every sport, okay?
You're supposed to.
You're the AD.
Well, you know, otherwise, and my coaches are going to look like I've got three eyes or something. So, you know, I'm very confident in all our 15 coaches that we have. And football certainly sets the tone in the fall, and we expect Kirby and his staff to be as competitive as they have in the past. And that's all we can ask at the University of Georgia, to be in the hunt. If you're in the hunt, you have a chance. And that's all we ask of all our coaches, be in the hunt.
Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarity from earlier this morning with John and Hugh. And it's nice, Randy, that the optimism seems to be there so much so about playing football this fall that we can kind of get back to talking about the actual football team. Like, we haven't talked about Jamie Newman and the new offensive coordinator and everything that may change in such a long time, because we didn't know if there was actually even going to be football this fall. That's a lot more fun to talk about. It's a lot more fun to talk about offensive changes and offensive, you know, offensive schemes than it is to talk about whether or not fans will be allowed in stadiums. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, man. And it's great whenever you hear Kirby, or I'm not here, or you see a Kirby tweet, "Go Dogs." You know, he didn't went and got him another fish.
And
Gwynn got a guy, young man out of Carrollton. So, I mean, when you – we have to talk about the things that he was talking about, because we got to get to the process. That's part of the process of getting back to sports, you know. And when you look at the fans, no fans, and all that, I mean, of course, you're planning for all. Do you, if you're football right now, Andy, do you plan for fans, or you plan for not having fans?
Well, I think it's easier to plan, or I think it's easier to adjust to not have than to adjust to have. You know what I mean? Like, if they don't have any plan to have fans in the stadium, and then 2 weeks before the season starts, they're like, "Oh yeah, full stadium." Like, oh crap. Okay, we got to order all these concessions, whatever. Like, I don't know all the process that goes into getting a stadium ready for a game. But it just seems like if you're planning on doing it and then you don't have to do it, it seems a lot easier to go that direction than the other direction. So I would absolutely plan on having people in there and hope that you can.
But they have the value of time. I think the NFL has really, you know, that's been our biggest thing, because they don't have to restart anything. You know, they're going to have to make adjustments to something as far as the travel and all that. You're talking about maybe, you know, when they go on the road, shortening the travel roster and about all that stuff. I mean, they got some stuff, and I'm sure they're talking every day, and they're just giving us what they want to give us. But I'm sure there's so many contingency plans, Andy. I'm sure there's so many ways of getting these kids on campus. And I'm not just talking about the athletes. I'm talking about the regular students, too. I'm thinking that they're trying to figure out ways to do that. And with the fact that we don't know how many fans that we're hearing, you know, Ohio State AD talking about 50,000 in there. I'm like, well, damn, we just went from none to 50. You know what I'm saying? You could have said, we'll see if we get 10,000 people that are here. So, nope. No, we want 50. You know what I'm saying?
No baby steps.
No baby steps. We going all, even though their horseshoe holds 102,000. I mean, 50, yeah. That's half, you know, but still, dude, that's a lot of people. And I've always said this. And I think me and you both have tried to drive this home. Who determines who gets in the games?
Who determines who gets in games. Who's got the most money?
Hey, that's
Randy,
what I'm saying.
Have you ever stayed in an Airbnb before?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
I bet you've never stayed in an Airbnb like this that Wendy's going to tell us about in the Wendy Zone coming up next.
Oh, dude, you threw me all off then.
Yep. We'll be back. Airbnbs and stuff. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
Everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar, more than healthcare, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every day at 11:40 on the midday show with Andy and Randy. Hey, Wendy, how's your weekend?
How's it going, guys?
Doing good.
Hey, Wendy.
What up? It was a lot of fun in the sun for me. I mean, it was, 80 degrees this weekend. The sun was scorching. Yeah, definitely in the pool over the weekend.
What was the quote that you had on Friday during the four-hour happy hour about drinking water? It was like, you gotta
prep it before you wreck it.
Before you wreck it. Did you wreck it this weekend?
I did pretty well.
Good for you.
I did really well. There was a lot of tequila.
That's great.
But what I didn't do this, guys, was rent an Airbnb. You guys have rented Airbnbs, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So we're all familiar. If you don't know what Airbnb is, people either rent out their homes, they rent out rooms in their homes, they rent out suites, what have you. But imagine scrolling on Airbnb and you know someone who's a big Pensacola Blue Wahoos fan, or you have a Little Leaguer, or you want to have a bachelor party, perhaps a bachelor party. And you see that the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, it's the AA Southern League affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, placing their ballpark up for rent on Airbnb. Now, the stadium is listed on the site for $1,500 per night, which is not bad because you can accommodate up to 10 guests. So split that with 10 people, it comes to $150 a person for a night. Included in the rental, you'll have access to the Wahoos' newly renovated clubhouse, a large bedroom, the batting cage, and the baseball field during your stay. So I posted a question on Twitter, if you could stay at any venue, sports venue, let's go United States, which venue would you guys pick?
Oh, I'd probably pick Mercedes-Benz. That place, the Falcons play is pretty dope, man. I mean, yeah. It got some nice stuff in it. Nice, my boy, he used to say amenities. Nice
it's
amenities.
Got, it's got good amenities. It's got great food. If they're going to open the food up, right? I know Wendy threw that out there on her tweet. Also, I love the idea, Wendy, of if you're staying in Arthur Blank's suite, like he's got wallpaper made out of like bird feathers.
Yeah, imagine weather fireplace crazy in amenities. There.
Yeah, imagine how nice that would be. But I didn't think of this. Brian Gebhardt always thinking outside the box. I was only thinking of stadiums. I didn't think of sports venues maybe including golf courses.
Yeah.
And if it includes golf courses, I mean, how do you not stay at Butler Cabin and play at Augusta National? I think I might have to amend my answer and say that I would go play at Augusta if anything was on the table. Or Pebble Beach, one or the other.
How much would you be willing to pay for that? Because the Blue Wahoos, I mean, for their it's $1,500 a night to rent out their stadium.
So,
how much would an Augusta National go for?
I don't know how much it would go for. I don't know if I could afford the monetary value of whatever it would be. I'm not going to put Brian's entire info out there, but we had a conversation during the break about like what you'd be willing to do to play at Augusta. Like I would do basically anything. Like I wouldn't murder a person. Like I wouldn't kill a human to play there.
Right.
But you don't want to go to jail for life.
No, but I would commit a crime though. Like if
really?
I try to get a yeah. I would commit. I would commit crimes if it allowed that I got to play at Augusta. Yeah,
it ain't that serious. And
yes,
$1,500 for one night will never not be paid by me. The hell I'm gonna say $1,500 for one night? I stay up all damn night because I don't want to go to sleep. I need to enjoy my $1,500 for this one night. But
you can split it,
huh?
You got friends with you, so you split it.
You okay. I'm about to say because I tell you,
yeah,
the one thing about the one thing about the Airbnb is that it's hard to find the right people to be in the same place with you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that's the hardest thing. Because she, like, that's her thing. She always want to, like, okay, well, maybe we can do this with this couple. I'm like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That goes back to the tricky thing of going on vacation. But you just can't go on vacation with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
I don't
want
to rent it. It's hard to rent it for me. This is me personally, to rent a house with another couple. No, because what if I got different habits? I want to watch. I like, and you know what I like? I like control of the remote control. If I'm in there with another man, he gonna think that half of the remote control is his. So, you know, it's a difficult thing for me.
Yeah, and I mean, then that's only one issue that could arise. I mean, just think.
Well, they got stinking feet.
Feet smell bad. I mean, you know what people, vacation is all about letting loose and having fun.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do it the right way. Like, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Like to get drunk and hang out by the pool or by the beach or whatever. Some people get drunk and act weird. I don't want to, you know, if you're there, they're a couple. Who knows what they might be doing at night? I don't want to hear that, you know?
I mean,
there's all kinds of stuff that could go wrong.
Hey, man, my whole thing is, and then I'm like, it's easy, I think, for women to be more compatible than men. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I ain't hanging out with no dude that don't drink. I can't hang out with no dude that don't drink and no dude that don't know nothing about sports. Because I ain't sitting there talking about damn Broadway or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, go over there, man. Okay, go over there.
All right. Well, the good thing about this Airbnb, this type of Airbnb, is that you have the entire stadium. Like, you can move.
Yeah, I get all that.
Away.
But $1,500.
We don't have to interact.
$1,500, please.
I would steal a car if it meant I got to play at Augusta National. That's a crime.
Why would you risk going to jail to play it? I mean, I know it's prestigious.
Because
I'm never gonna
get to play it.
Man, all right. Well, I mean.
Like, if that was you can play 18 holes at Augusta, you just got to get away with stealing a car. I'd just want to figure out how to steal a car.
Yeah, I just want to see your wife's reaction after she coming to bail you out of jail.
That's
what I want to see.
I'd probably get caught.
Yeah, you probably would, but that's okay, because you're not a criminal, Andy. You're a good person, and there's no reason to. Now, this, I would expect this of Brian, to rob or in Maine and steal a play at Augusta.
Brian
not
said,
you.
And I think.
Not you.
Again, if I get this wrong.
Yeah, I can come on and just say it myself.
Go ahead and say it for yourself.
Yeah, I pretty much told Andy I would commit any nonviolent crime to play Augusta National. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, I would too, I think. I mean, I don't know, name a nonviolent crime.
A nonviolent crime.
Yeah, what's a nonviolent? I don't want to hurt anyone. Certainly don't want to hurt anyone or commit assault.
I don't want you doing that, okay? But, I mean,
I'd commit insurance fraud.
Really?
To play Augusta National? Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think you can go to jail for a really
long
time.
So you do some white collar crime.
I do white collar crime. I do plenty of white collar crime. Yeah.
Stop telling on yourself, homie.
Well, I'm not gonna do it. This is not like a real scenario, but
I'm just saying. Is it that serious?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I ain't think. Me neither.
Yes,
Wendy.
It is.
No, it ain't that serious.
Yes,
it ain't that serious.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean,
ain't nothing worth my damn. Ain't nothing worth the possibility of my freedom.
But I won't get caught either. I'm not gonna. If I do it, I'm not gonna broadcast it on the radio. I'm not gonna say, "Yeah, committed some credit card fraud the other day, Randy, and had a great time at Augusta." I'm just gonna say Augusta was fun. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah. I made birdie at 12.
So what if one of your foursome partners, when you're playing Augusta, asks you, "How did you get in here?" What are you gonna say?
I'm gonna lie. I'm gonna say that I was picked in a raffle.
I'm gonna tell them I'm a damn member. None of your business. See? That's why another thing I can't do, and it's hard for me, is to play golf with somebody that I don't know. Me and Bob went play golf. They let some other dude join me and him. Dude got on my damn nerves the whole time. Like, dude, just shut up and smoke your cigar like I'm doing.
Addition to the foursome, I could see really bugging Randy.
Dude, it irritates me, dog.
What was he doing?
He was loud and country as hell. When I'm loud and country as hell, but he was just annoying as hell.
Who of the four on Sunday was the most annoying to play with? Between Phil Tiger, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. Which one of those
probably
guys
Phil.
Just want to Phil never shut up.
Phil talked too damn much. Yeah.
And if you don't stop trying to read my putts, Phil, go stand over there. If I miss it, I miss it. All right. Get away from me.
He got on Tiger's nerves.
Yeah, he did. Like, shut up, Phil. Let's just enjoy the round of golf. All right. We'll come back.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll get to the most important audio in the world, maybe even some audio from that golf match on Sunday. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.